new version of Fab's Auto Backup is out just for technicians. This thing will blow you away, save you a ton of time. Check it out at podnuts.com/Fabs, F-A-B-S. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 322. The show for you guys. It's not for me. None of this is for me. It's all for you. No, I get enjoyment out of this, actually. It's the show about computer repair, and we bring computer repair techs on the show. They talk about tips and tricks and methods, techniques, what they're doing, what works, what doesn't work, all kinds of good stuff. The goal is to help you guys become better technicians yourself. So let's see who's on the show today. Calling us from England today, Adam Matthews from adstech.co.uk. What's up, Adam?
Pretty good, thanks. How's you?
Doing pretty good. I just realized I put a .com at the end of your website, so I'm taking that off now. So what is going on over there? You're in Dorchester, Dorset, right?
Yes.
But you say it much faster and more English than I do.
Dorchester, Dorset.
And you said it's hot over there, didn't you, lately?
Last couple of days it has been, yes.
Yeah. And I asked him what hot was. He said, oh, it's like, what is it in Celsius, like 27?
Something like that, yeah.
And I looked online and it turned out to be 70 degrees Fahrenheit. I just came from 100 degree weather yesterday. And that's hot. Actually, I don't know. English hot might be different than American hot. Who knows?
I think 30 degrees is normally about the maximum we get. Maybe 32.
Really? Wow, and you're in the southern part of England too. So it's probably a little warmer there than it is up in, I don't know, Leeds. Right?
Would have thought so.
All right, well,
the cities are normally hotter as well.
What is?
The cities are hotter for some reason.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your business. Tell us what you do to start off, and let people get to know you real quick.
Well, the business is Aztec Computer Solutions. I've been trading under that name for about 18 months.
Cool.
Just trying to keep all my customers happy and ensure they get good service.
That's the trick.
Yeah, we offer all sorts of repairs like virus removal, DC jack repairs, screen replacements, all the normal stuff.
Good.
As soon as I get some more money together, I'm hoping to get into the reballing, but we'll have to see about that.
That, you know, I always say, I praise Lotfi, but that always seemed like a lot of work to me. But I mean, it's probably so needed now. What made you want to get into that?
It's just there's no one, as far as I know, down this end that actually offer it.
Yeah, good point.
I think you need to send it away to London is the closest company that I know of. Could be wrong, but
yeah, I mean, if there's a need, if you could fill it, that's a business. So, you've been keeping busy? Business doing good?
It's a bit slow at the moment. I've kind of pulled back on my advertising due to one of the companies I was advertising with hiked the prices up this year and just thought it was a bit extortionate.
Wow. Like major increase?
Well, it was over £100 increase over last year.
Damn.
So that's $160 about.
That's not right. Well, we'll probably get into that. You got a bunch of notes here. So why don't you start us off? What do you want to talk about today?
Okay, first thing, I was going to go over my malware removal process.
Good.
A lot of people seem to have questions about that when they first start listening. I suppose I thought I'd give you my process away.
Sure.
Generally, the go-to two programs I use first are Kaspersky Rescue Disk or CombiFix.
No, do you use them both or just one or the other?
One or the other, depending on how badly infected it is.
So if it's infected really badly, which one do you use?
If it's really, really bad, I might use both. But if you can't even get into Windows safe mode or anything like that, I use the Kaspersky Rescue Disk.
Cool. Yeah. Our last guest was talking about that, I believe. And people have been talking about that recently and it's supposedly pretty damn good. You had success with Kaspersky, the rescue disk?
Most of the time, yeah. There's a few things I've come across that it hasn't been able to remove, but combo fix seems sorted that out.
Yeah, that seems like a good 1-2 punch. But at the very least, if you run a rescue disk, you get at least get into the OS and then do some work from there, right?
Yeah.
How long does it take to run Kaspersky? It's a long scan, isn't it?
I didn't think it was too bad.
Oh, really?
It depends on how many user files, obviously, but most of the scans I've run with it have been an hour, hour and a half, if that.
Oh, cool. All right, good. All right, continue. I interrupted you.
So then, everyone knows about CombiFix, or if you don't, it is a definite go-to program. It says that it should be used sparingly, but I've never run into a problem using it, damaging in the OS or anything like that.
Yeah, me neither.
The new interface they brought out a couple of months ago scared me the first time I run it.
CombiFix changed their interface?
Yes, they have.
Wow.
It popped up saying deleting C user. And I thought, what's going on here? Why is it deleting the user directory?
It actually says that?
Yes, it did. And another time I ran it, it came up saying deleting C Windows System 32. I was like, what's going on here?
What is it doing when it does that?
I'm not entirely sure, but it doesn't seem to actually remove any of the System 32 files or the user directory, so it's obviously not actually deleting what it's saying.
I can't believe they would even put like that to scare the hell out of everybody. That's interesting. Okay, so you run Kaspersky and CombiFix.
If it's needed, yes. Okay. Generally one or the other.
All right. And what?
Then after that, move on to Sasa or Super Anti-Spyware.
Okay.
That'll clean up all the rest of the tracking cookies and any remnants, or if there's still anything active left on there, usually.
Good. Yes, and I see next you have Malwarebytes. Now, it always seems to be one or the other, right? People like SAS, people like MBAM. What do you like?
I prefer the Sasa or Super Anti-Spyware. Seems to pick up more of the remnants as well as tracking cookies, whereas MyBAM doesn't do that and doesn't look for tracking cookies.
Hmm.
And the MyBAM's got startup issues in Vista.
It does?
When it says, oh, you need to reboot to remove whatever's left, you actually get a UAC prompt when you restart Vista.
Right.
So you have to, it's another user interaction that was unnecessary, really.
So if you hit no at that window, it won't actually do the finish the cleaning?
I don't think so, no.
Wow, I didn't know that. Interesting. So you put here you don't use Malwarebytes as much anymore.
Not really, no.
Hmm.
I've run tests on it with you running Malwarebytes first and then Super Anti-Spyware. Super Anti-Spyware picks up a few more items, whereas the other way around, Malwarebytes just comes back clean.
Cool. Good, man. So between those four or three things, unless you're running all of them in a row, does that seem to handle a lot of the stuff?
I haven't run into anything where none of that kind of like system hasn't solved the virus removal.
Interesting. Good. Good.
Well, with the exception of that TDL4 rootkit, but I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I keep hearing about it too. I haven't seen it. All right. Carry on.
Last thing on the malware removal part, I've been testing Komodo Cleaning Essentials thanks to Timster. He put me onto it in the forums.
Okay. What does it do?
It's kind of like a scanner, like CombiFix, built-in scanner, which is updated just by running the program. It's also got a kind of like a super task manager.
Really?
Which links online and shows you safe or potentially unsafe processes.
Oh, cool. I'm checking it out now. I'm at the website.
I suppose it's kind of like Viper piece, the Viper Rescue, although you don't have to download the full program every time. The definitions update by themselves when you run the program.
Oh, cool. Komodo Cleaning Essentials. Is this new? How long have they had this?
It's been out quite a while.
Really? I wonder if it came out before Microsoft Security Essentials.
Oh, Komodo's free internet security products have been around for a while.
Yeah, I remember running Komodo's firewall, but I never remember this. Yeah, Komodo was a good firewall. Oh, this is cool. So you having success with this?
I haven't really tested it on the actual virus removal yet, because generally speaking, customers want things back as quickly as possible, so stick with the usual stuff, and Komodo doesn't pick up anything extra that the other ones have missed.
Right. Cool. It's a good one. Anything else you want to go over on that?
Just the... it's not really part of the removal, but on sort of like web viruses where people get these pop-ups saying your PC is infected and all that sort of stuff, on every site that I've been to on my test machine, if you press Alt F4, just like you would to close the browser, you don't get infected.
Alt and F4. Seriously.
If you just keep pressing it until the browser closes, it doesn't seem to download anything.
So, right, on all the sites that you've been to that have an infections that test different antivirus programs, you press Alt and F4 until all browser windows close, you don't seem to get infected. So, you go to sites purposely to test different antiviruses?
Yes.
And on these sites, you press Alt and F4 until the browser's closed, you don't get infected.
Doesn't seem to anything come down, though.
So what are you saying here?
Generally, when techs tell customers, like when they get these pop-ups, just to switch off the machine, it seems if you just press Alt F4 instead of clicking on the cross and you get that leave page pop-up, just press Alt F4 until the browser closes and... There should be no infection present.
That's amazing, man. I've never even thought about that.
At least in the sites I've been to anyway. Who knows? Will they figure out a way around that?
Right, but I'm sure that this is something that I don't think a lot of them are really... I mean, who presses Alt and F4? Is that the uncommon Windows shortcut to close a window or what?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty cool. First time I heard that tip. So that's what you're going to be telling your customers then. If they get a pop-up and it asks them something or it looks shady, just hit Alt F4.
Yes, pretty much.
Pretty neat, man. I like it. All right. Good find. How did you figure that out?
I just, I honestly don't know. I just decided to close the browser one day instead of clicking on the cross. Just hit Alt F4 and thought, oh, there's no fake antivirus program present now. Let's try it again.
Very neat, man. This is a good discovery. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll work for a long time. And if this catches on, the spyware guys will be onto it. But for now, I think it's a good deterrent. Check it out. Cool. Adam, hey, before we continue, one thing here. All right. Next item on your list. Let's go over that.
Hey, free antivirus programs.
All right.
Windows XP, I don't generally give Microsoft Security Essentials out or any of the other ones like Avira or AVG, just due to the fact that XP is basically on a non-existent firewall in it.
A non-existent firewall? Like it says it's running, but it doesn't do anything?
Not really, no. I've given clients free antiviruses on XP and they've come back saying they're still infected. So I started giving them Komodo Internet Security. It's got as we all know, they've built in firewall in that. So that's another free product.
Checking it out now. So how is Komodo's internet security? Is it intrusive? Is it bloated? How does it run?
It's not bloated, certainly not like Norton or anything like that. And it's come a long way recently limiting the need for user interaction. Before, you used to get pop-ups all the time. Would you like to set this program, allow access, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, you made the Komodo firewall?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would confuse somebody, I think. It doesn't do that anymore. It's not as bad.
Not as bad, no. only when you install it, it comes up with a few of the programs that need to allow access. But once you've already set that to remember, it's it runs quite happily.
Yeah, good. That's a nice, I mean, if you're going to give something free out, this is a nice one. Something of concern I see, though, when I was looking at the overview for Komodo Internet Security is they say users can upgrade to Komodo Internet Security Pro 2011 for $50 per year and receive two additional services. GeekBuddy, which somebody brought up before, a 24-hour per day unlimited incident support services package, which usually markets for $49.99. Have you seen GeekBuddy?
Yes, I've seen GeekBuddy. I choose not to install it by default.
Yeah, well, you obviously, but you think that this is a threat to computer repair guys like you?
At the moment, I don't think so, just due to the Komodo is not well known over here. And I think people, when it comes to online support, actually want to know who they're dealing with.
Yes. But I mean, they're selling GeekBuddy separately now in Walmart and stores.
Yeah, I saw that recently.
I wonder. See, I think we're okay because they're just going to do such a bad job. It's almost a given. I mean, how could it be actually good? It just can't be. So that's what I'm counting on to keep everybody in business is that the fact that they're just going to do a terrible job and people are going to give up on it. But you never know.
Well, the trouble is, it's part of the reseller package, which I'll go over a bit later on.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, then, continue.
When it comes to Windows Vista or 7, they obviously have a built-in advanced firewall that includes inbound and outbound packet filtering.
Okay.
So, generally speaking, Microsoft Security Essentials, which is my preferred free antivirus product, is enough protection for them.
Gotcha. And same with 7?
Same with 7, yeah. If anything, 7's security is better than Vista due to the less intrusive user account control.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask you this. Why do you give away, I mean, you're in a computer repair business. Why do you give away free antivirus?
Generally, I recommend the paid versions, but half the time it's hard work trying to persuade customers to actually buy when they know they can get free products.
Uh-huh.
Once a customer has been reinfected twice with a free antivirus, I generally remind them again that I offered them a paid antivirus product, and then they generally buy them.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that. Here's the reason. I did the same thing as you. I used to give away AVG when it was decent. And not that AVG is horrible. It provided some layer of protection, but the people were getting infected, and they would always ask me while they were picking up their computers anyway, do you sell this? Do you have an antivirus? And when I show them EVG, they weren't always like, that look in their eye wasn't like, I'm satisfied with this. They're just like, okay. And then they went and bought to Staples and they bought Norton. So when I found out that Norton had really slimmed down the Norton antivirus, not the whole internet security, I started selling Norton. I would buy it on eBay for $15, sell it for $35, I think. And people were super happy with it. And Norton actually did a really good job. I mean, I thoroughly tested it on my machine before I gave it out. But I think you should improve your if it seems tough to you to sell antivirus, maybe work out that problem. And and then sell more. I think it'd be a better income stream for you. And people want it. That's the thing. People actually want it. So,
well, it's the next part of the notes, paid antivirus.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I got to read this stuff. Sorry, man. Go for it.
Well, I do. Recently, I have been reselling Kaspersky Internet Security.
Uh-huh.
Just due to, I think that is a better product than, obviously better than Norton Internet Security and McAfee.
Yeah.
I see in the forums that, was it Zden or something like that, is actually McAfee's been put on the not recommended list.
Really? It's about time. So, you know, are you getting this at a decent price and marking it up or what?
I suppose I make about £10 or the equivalent, it's about $15, I suppose.
Cool. Do you buy them online in bulk, or you don't have to give away your supplier, but give some tips.
I generally buy as and when I need it. I suppose if I stocked in, I could save money on delivery charges and things like that. It's definitely something I'm looking into.
Gotcha.
No,
go ahead.
I say the one I'm looking into at the minute, as we discussed, the free one, is the Komodo Partner Program.
Komodo Partner Program. Okay. And what's that?
It's Komodo, you saw about the Geek Buddy, but what's other part of it is a £500 virus removal guarantee, or $500 in the States.
Let me check this out. All right, what is it?
Basically, you as a reseller, you can public. Sorry, I don't know how to say it. You can offer the £500 virus-free guarantee when you sell the product, and basically, Komodo, I'm guessing in conjunction with Geek Buddy, will remote in and remove the virus, or just by being a part of the Komodo program, anyone who's bought them, you become a preferred repair center, and Komodo will pay you to do the virus removal.
Wow, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool. Let me think. Is this cool or is this not cool? I'm trying to think. So the customer buys Komodo for £500.
No, it's just a £500 virus removal fee. The markup, depending on how much you changes, depending on how much you buy off of Komodo. I've got 20% discount on the retail price at the minute, but you can go up to about 55%.
£500 virus
removal
fee.
The recommended retail is about 40.
Okay.
The product's about £40, I think, retail.
Right, but where does the £500 come in? I'm not getting it.
Basically, when you buy a subscription, they will cover the cost up to £500 if you get infected.
I gotcha. Okay. I was going to say, that's pretty damn cool. So, all right. So, they have up to £500, which is how much how does that translate into dollars? Like $650 or something like that?
Well, in America, they offer the $500.
I see. So, they get that, and then they probably use Geek Buddy. But then you said if you sign up with them, they... on the partner program, they can use you to remote in and remove the viruses.
Well, they use the Geek Buddy first, and then if it can't be done online, they'll then send you to a repair center.
Got it. Sorry, man.
And by being part of the program, if someone buys the product online and not even through yourself, you become a repair center for them if they can't fix it through Geek Buddy.
Very good. Very good. See, I'm sorry I'm a little slow today, but this is freaking awesome. See, because I don't think Geek Buddy can fix anything. So this is actually good. If it all trickles down to you in the end, do you know what I mean? So the Komodo Partner Portal. Let me go to the website. There it is there. Now, have you signed up already?
I'm already signed up, yes.
Is it free to sign up?
It's free to sign up. I got a special deal. Because they contacted me, I've got a pay-as-you-go account, but they've offered me the 20% discount on their products. Generally, the pay-as-you-go account, you don't get any discount.
And pay-as-you-go, how much do they pay you for doing a job?
Well, the pay-as-you-go is when you actually purchase the product off them, the internet security.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with my discount, it's about $15.20 for a year subscription, and you can resell it for about, I'm sure they told me it was £40, so that's more than 20% markup.
I gotcha. Now, but is that all they offer you? Because when the Geek Buddy can't fix it and they call on you, you go there and you charge them your normal rate and you make that money, or do they pay Komodo or Geek Buddy? How does that work?
I haven't completely looked into it yet, but from what I've been told, the customer has to bring the PC to me or the laptop, and then Komodo covers the cost of what I charge the customer.
And they pay you.
They send me the money. Yeah.
Gotcha. And as also part of this, you get these discounts on the Komodo products.
Yes.
I see. Yeah. It's all making sense. Cool. And there's a pay-as-you-go program, and then there, or just a flat, what did you say, 20%?
Pay-as-you-go, well, the discount I got is 20%, but it works out more, or you can actually load your account with money to get more of a discount on the products. So if you send them £1,000, you get 55% discount on any purchases, and that money will just sit in that account, and you can get online codes whenever you need them.
I see. Now, can you do these jobs that they refer to you and then say, Komodo, don't pay me for this job, just put my money in my partner account and then use it that way? Or
that I don't know.
Interesting. This is really cool. This is good stuff, man. I mean, I think any way you can partner up with these companies that are looking for techs is a really smart thing, because it doesn't cost you anything. So,
well, that's why I'm slowly moving away from Kaspersky. I looked into them to partner with them, and they offer you kind of like training and all that sort of stuff on your products and marketing material, but there is no reseller incentives either.
Really?
Because you don't get a renewal fee if the customer renews, whereas with Komodo, I think you actually get 20% of the renewal fee every year.
Oh, sweet. You know, the only problem, the only thing I see with Komodo, and this used to happen in my shop, when I would hand somebody Norton, their eyes would light up and go, oh, I recognize that. I see that everywhere. And the problem with Komodo right now anyway is it's not out there yet where the general consumer can see it on shelves. You know what I mean? So that, I think that might be the only issue you have. But other than that, this sounds pretty sweet.
Well, I think that's the idea of the virus-free guarantee. It's an added selling bonus that none of the other companies are doing yet.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way in. I commend them so far. As long as they don't bloat the thing, I think they're on the right track. Cool, man. All right. What else you got?
Hey, moving on to recent repairs. I had a problem recently with a media center PC. I'm assuming it will work on all version of Windows, where the wireless card would be detected, but it wouldn't be able to receive any signals from any routers.
I
checked all the usual stuff, like wireless zero config enabled, is broadcast enabled in the device manager. None of it works, and I found a post somewhere saying that if you remove the drivers, disable the wireless zero config and reboot the machine, if you re-enable wireless zero config and start the service to automatic and reinstall the drivers, the machine then, it seems to reset the wireless zero config, and it will then receive connections from routers.
Really? So when you originally have the machine, it shows that the device is there and it shows it's working, but it just won't find any routers?
Yes.
So you have to do that. This is for what OS?
It's designed for XP, but I would assume it works in Vista and Windows 7 if you see the problem. It seems to be linked to if the wireless tab is missing in the properties dialog.
Oh, really? So if you see it missing, then you know you got to do this fixed. This fixed.
Yes.
Let's see. Who brought this up? Who figured this out? Oh, this is all your...
Yeah, I posted it in the forums asking if anyone knew, and everyone sort of suggested what I'd already tried and found it in a forum somewhere else.
I see it in your post. See, the guys, this is why you got to go to the Podnuts forums. You have people like Adam in here figuring stuff out and everybody else. This is cool, man. This is definitely a fix that I'm sure somebody's been tearing their hair out about, not figuring out. Awesome. Good job. All right. Anything else on that?
Another recent repair is, start off with, I suppose it's when you're doing repairs, look for the obvious first.
Uh-oh. Why?
Don't assume your customers know what they're doing.
Okay.
I recently went to a customer's house who had an Epson printer that wasn't printing anymore. I kind of assumed that they knew how to install cartridges correctly and thought it was the Epson protection counter had reached its maximum. that is an issue with Epson printers. Once that counter reaches its predetermined value, it has to go in for an Epson repair center, supposedly.
What? Seriously?
There is a tool out there to reset Epson printers called the Epson Service Utility. There is a link in the notes I've given you.
It's sslg.com is this site. This SSC Service Utility for Epson Stylus Printers. Okay. So you ran that, apparently.
Yeah, I ran that, reset the protection counter, and it still wasn't working. So I thought, well, let's check for paper remnants, for paper jams or anything like that.
Right.
And the entire printer was clean. There wasn't even any ink spillage in there. I thought, okay, what's next? So I thought, let's just reseat the cartridges and see what happened. And the cartridge covers weren't put down correctly. They weren't clipped in.
Man. So they said it wasn't. See, I think what might have thrown you is they said it's no longer printing, right? As you were, yeah. So you were assuming it just stopped all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
Right. If they would have said this thing never printed since the first day we got it, that would have been one thing. But oh man, so they went, they bought new cartridges, put them in, and just put them in wrong.
Yeah, pretty much.
I see. Check for the obvious. Good one. All right. What else?
Hey, next. Next on the list for recent repairs, I don't rely on postcards anymore. I know that's been brought up recently. It actually caused me to give a misdiagnosis and ended up having to give my services away for free because I gave the wrong recommendation after using them.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I popped a postcard into a machine that was... wasn't booting at all.
Oh, and it came back. Postcard. In the U.S., postcards are little papers you send out to people to get them
right.
For service. So you're talking about it. You're talking about an actual device. What do you plug in? A PCI port or something?
Go PCI or PCI Express.
And what does it do? I've never used one.
It supposedly tells you, gives you a readable motherboard diagnosis code, which you can go and look up online and see what the fault is.
And it works on all, does it have to work on a certain brand of motherboards or?
Any motherboard, but the codes, different meaning for different BIOSes, I think.
Weird. So you were using them and they were just giving the wrong diagnosis?
Well, this, I've only used it the once and I'll never use it again.
What happened?
I put it in the machine and it gave me a memory fault.
Okay.
So I tested the memory on another machine, and the memory was fine. So at that point, I thought, it's got to be the memory controller on the motherboard.
Right.
So the customer didn't want to buy motherboards through me, so they went out and bought their own.
Really?
And they gave it back to me, and I fitted everything in, and it still wouldn't work.
Damn.
So what it actually was a memory fault on the graphics card.
Oh, man. What a bummer. Who would have known?
Luckily, the new motherboard they purchased, they actually wanted to keep because I offered to buy it off them. But the it had an onboard graphics chip, so they were able to get the machine back that way.
I guess they don't play games on it because they definitely would not want the onboard graphics.
No. I think it's mainly office work they were doing on it, luckily.
Good. They don't need a graphics card anyway. See, it all worked out. Damn, that's pretty. Yeah. That's one of those odd ones you never really suspect. What was the symptom of that machine? Do you remember that? What was it doing?
It was just a black screen on startup. It wouldn't post at all. There was no beep codes or anything.
Now, when you did that motherboard have onboard graphics? The original one, anyway?
No, it didn't.
Oh. That's pretty old school. Either old school or a really good motherboard.
It was a, I think it was one of the plus 3200 series. So that wasn't even a dual core.
Oh, yeah. Damn. All right. Yeah, because one of the things I used to do is just every time I had situations like that, I would pull out all the peripherals, like all the cards. Everything. I would strip it down to just bare motherboard. I would strip it down so it would be like basically motherboard, RAM, power supply, processor and try to get a to try it that way. Because I've had computers do that same thing because a PCI modem is in there that's went bad, you know? So, but if it didn't have onboard graphics, then you couldn't have tested it, so you did the right thing. But no more.
Unfortunately, I didn't have a card to actually test that before I assumed it was the motherboard.
Yeah. Well, you put your faith into the postcard, right?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, now you know. Good advice, though. All right, what's this eBay thing?
Well, I've set up an eBay store, and just as we've been speaking, I've had a sale.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've set up an eBay store selling ink cartridges, and there will be more items going up as time goes on just to see if it's actually profitable. Not getting very many sales just due to my feedback so low.
Right.
I think I've got 23 positive or something like that.
It's a start. You got to start somewhere. But yeah. What are you selling on ink cartridges and what?
Compatible ink cartridges. Got a supplier with cables that offer a lifetime warranty. They will be going up shortly.
Now, it's got to be a huge, especially for ink cartridges, huge market. How are you staying competitive? You're making money doing that?
I wouldn't say I'm making a lot. It's about 25% markup on eBay I can make on ink cartridges. That means I get in around the region of 15%.
And what about eBay fees? Does that factor in?
eBay fees, that's if you put a markup, well, this is what I do, 25% plus 40p, that covers eBay fees, and you still get about 15% as your profit margin there.
I gotcha.
eBay fees for ink cartridges are about 5.6%. Then you've got PayPal, which is 3.4%. And obviously the listing fees are 10p, and PayPal's one-off charge of 20p.
Oh, I hate fees.
They take money out of everything they possibly can on that.
Serious. It's like paying taxes. So what made you think about getting into that? Because that's not a high margin of, you know.
The only reason profit. I started it is one of the local shops who were selling Jet Tech cartridges went into foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So people have been asking, where do we go? So I thought, well, people can find that on my website, so why not give it a go?
I see. Well, let us know how that works out. I used to like to sell on eBay, and then I kind of stopped. I think I ran out of, the main thing was I ran out of supply of things. But then I noticed their fees kept going higher and stuff too, and that was discouraging, so I kind of left it alone. But and the competition was really high too. So I'd be curious to know how you do with that, and that'd be some good tips you could give if you could swing that.
Yeah, there's another company that's come out recently which I've been looking into called eBid. And it's another auction site like eBay. They're ranked third, I think, over here.
UBid or eBid?
eBid.
Okay, let me check them out.
You pay a one-off fee of £50, I think. It's £49.95, or it was. And I think all your listings from then on are free.
Really? eBid.net.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Is this it?
That's it, yep.
Yeah, thank God for eBay alternatives.
Yeah, they're certainly starting to gain traction because obviously you can put up lower prices when you're not paying eBay fees.
It's true. Plus, if there's less competition, might be a little better for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Not listed anything on there yet, but it's certainly something to look into.
Yeah, let me know how that goes too. Awesome. All right, what else you got?
Last bit, my advice for new startups. I say, don't waste money on buying equipment. I've wasted £100 on equipment that just sits in my office, rarely gets used. I just keep money aside, buy equipment as and when I need it.
Yes. This is for startups, for computer repair guys?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you go to Radio Shack, though, and you just have to buy something. I used to go in there and see all the cool tools on the wall and just have to buy something. In the music field, they call it GAS. It's called gear acquisition syndrome. Basically, when you just feel like you have to buy it, but you don't really need it. So, yeah, it can stack up. What equipment did you spend money on and not use?
Oh, I bought like a professional tool case, all electric shielded screwdrivers and things like that, and bought a load of like the USB hard drive plugins and things like that, and
yeah.
Very rarely use them.
I think it's great advice, man. I used to do it to a fault almost. I buy stuff as you feel like you need it. Good call, especially when you're starting up. Because the computer repair business there's not many startup costs in it at all. Like I said, you just get a screwdriver, a pack of CDs in your car, and you could start like a mobile repair business. So, yeah, that's a good tip.
And the last bit in that part is work out what you think your marketing budget is going to be and double it. Most people, including myself, underestimate what they need to spend to get a return on investment.
Good call. What are you doing for marketing then?
I've pulled back on my marketing at the minute. I was spending money with Yale, but they've hiked up their fees. So I'm just looking into other avenues like leaflet drops and things like that. Now, I've been asking for opinions in the forums.
Yeah. Anything good?
Under there. I've got quite a few good tips come back. And if anyone else would like to leave a message, it's under the business and marketing section. Title opinion, please.
Podnuts.com/forums. Help Adam out, guys. See, I wish I could give you more advice. My problem was I had two forms of marketing that were strong for me. My strongest form of marketing was my shop was on a busy street where people at a traffic light, where people would stop at the light, they'd look around and they would see my sign because my sign said $79 for complete repair. It was something just really cheap. So it would always catch their attention. And I made sure another thing on my main sign above my shop, it said affordable computer repair. And my phone, the biggest thing on my sign was my phone number. That was the biggest thing on my sign. I did it on purpose. So it said affordable computer repair and the phone number, huge numbers. And people would just walk in, come in off of that. Oh, I saw your shop. I saw your sign when I was driving home. Is it really $79? Is it this? That was my main form of marketing. So if you do get a shop, location is really, really important. If you could swing, getting into a place that's very visible, preferably at a light. Traffic lights are awesome because people have nothing to do. So instead of just look around. So get one next to a light if you can, and the busier the street, the better. And you might not even have to do any advertising if you get that. But I kind of lucked out with that. And then my Google AdWords was my second form of advertising, which worked out well for me too. But my best was location. So
yeah, I haven't been doing the AdWords recently. I did the pay-as-you-go route.
Yeah.
On £50, used that up in sort of like a week and got no calls out of it. So
yeah.
I stopped it at that point and looking back into it again now.
Look back into it because you can, if you use the right keywords, get it down so you're not getting slammed for per clicks. But if you're general and you just type computer repair, as your keywords, you might be paying, depending on your competition in that area, up to like $4 or $5 a click. See, I did it a couple years ago, so these shops were finally starting to catch on that Google AdWords existed and they could use it. So I was getting like $2 a click was getting me my clicks, and it was working out. I was actually making a profit on it. But if it gets above that and into the threes and fours, your website has to be really good or people are not going to call you and you're not going to get good ROI on your clicks. So yeah, it's just getting too much competition there too. But yeah, you're going to try AdWords again?
Yes, I'm going to give it a go shortly.
Yeah, keep us posted. All right, good tip on marketing budget.
The last thing I've got is for those of you in the UK who are just starting out, I've started up a post in the business and marketing, which I'll probably bump, so it's at the top at the end of this. It's called the UK Wholesale List.
Okay. What is it?
It's... It's got links to trade-only suppliers, as well as some of the popular customer and trade suppliers, and some specialist items on there. People have been posting their suppliers that they need, and I've been adding them into the list.
Wow. Awesome, man. This is great. Now, this is UK and other areas too?
It's just at the UK. At the top, I did say I'd start and maintain the US one if they were interested, but no one's asked about that. So I assume everyone just goes to, UK, like you're talking about, Newegg and Amazon and eBay.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys do go there. But who was talking about last time? Our last guest, I think, was talking about a supplier that they use. It's basically Tigers. I think it's Tiger Direct. Oh, it was Leaf. I think it was Leaf. Was it Leaf? Maybe it was Ray. I'm sorry if I can't remember. Somebody talked about... No, who was it? Now I got to remember. It was a supplier who I think was basically Tiger Direct's wholesale sec department. I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry. So, anyway, yeah, this is a great thing to have, and it's in the forums. So, these are all people that you've used, or what?
Some of them I've used, or some that I know of. I'll just pull up the list a second, or I can double check, see what's there.
But you started putting the ones in that you use, and then people are adding them as they go along, or?
Yes, that's right.
Very cool. Very cool. Check it out, guys, especially if you're in the UK. In the forums, it's UK Wholesale List. Adam is the man. All right, should we go to emails now, Adam, or you got anything else you want to go over?
That's it. I'm pretty much done.
Good stuff. Thank you for bringing it. Let's do some emails. Podnuts Daily emails. We have three. Why did I put this in daily? I thought I read this last week. It's from Steve. He says, I wonder if you have any ideas about a hardware piece which will allow you to burn multiple DVDs in a smart way. Okay, he's looking for a device that will take, say you have 30 gigs worth of information and you want to span it across however many DVDs, 8 DVDs that it'll fit on. Is there a machine that has been created where you can just put 8 DVDs in the thing and this thing will span the 30 gigs over the 8 DVDs? I don't know of a machine. I think we covered this last pod that's daily, or at least on another show, and nobody knew there. Do you know of any device like that, Adam, or has it yet to be invented?
I've never heard of one. The only thing I can think of with multiple recorders would be a duplicator, which is not much help.
Yeah, I know, because it's all going to be the same thing. That's the closest thing I thought of, too, but hey. All right, well, let's play this voicemail then. This is from, I'm not actually sure. I think this is a New York phone number. Let me get the audio going. I think we're all set up for that. Let's play this voicemail. That's
yes, my name is Randy Knowles. I'm in the forums as the tech professor. I want to tell you, I wanted to relate an incident that happened to me this morning. I service elderly people. And I set up a brand new Dell computer for this lady. She's about 80 years old. All the software, all the hardware, all the updates, everything was pristine. I delivered the computer to her, set it up in front of her, you know, the monitor and the keyboard, the mouse, the printer, et cetera. Showed her basically the difference between Windows XP and Windows 7. I stayed there for about an hour. We went all over it. I had put Microsoft Security Essentials as the antivirus, showed her that, told her that it updated automatically, and everything was wonderful. Very intelligent lady.
Wow, he's building the suspense. I want to know what happens next. Let's see.
Not very computer savvy. Well, that was about a week ago. During the week, she had a question, and she was hesitant to call me. She thought she would bother me, so she called Dell. It's a Dell Inspiron, I think 560, the computer. Dell remoted into her computer. She had no problems with the computer at all. They remoted into the computer and did some kind of search, scan, investigation in her computer, told her everything was okay, but they told her that she had no antivirus on her machine, which she did. She had Microsoft Security Essentials, which I had put on there and updated. And I believe that they actually uninstalled Microsoft Security Essentials, and then they gave her a pitch saying, remember, this is an 80-year-old lady that has no idea about tech. They tell this lady, ma'am, your computer is in danger. You have no antivirus on your computer. You need to put an antivirus on there. We suggest that you get System Mechanic, and we will sell you System Mechanic for 3 years for $131. So this lady didn't know what to do. She was on the phone to Dell. So she bought into their pitch. She was duped by Dell. $131 for 3 years. System Mechanic, which I'm not real familiar with because I don't use it much. I know it's a tweaking tool, a cleaning tool, and it also has a module, some type of antivirus, spyware module there. So it may be a halfway decent program. She has no idea how to use any of the tweaking tools, cleaning tools, nor does she need them. But Dell deceived this lady into buying System Mechanic for 3 years after actually uninstalling the antivirus that I had put on Microsoft Security Essentials. I would love to know if this has happened to anyone, if anyone has seen this. I am outraged. The lady is actually going to call Dell, try to get her money back. I just wanted to share that with all the techs out there. Love the show.
Oops, I think it cut him off. Whoa, that's amazing. Thank you, Randy. I appreciate that. That's a good voicemail. I can't believe it did. You know, I mean, it's one thing. I think it would be one thing if they said, your antivirus, we have something better than Microsoft Security Essentials or something like that and try to pitch it. Fine. But she probably didn't even call for that anyway. But that's one thing. But if they actually removed Security Essentials and then conned her into getting an antivirus, that's like, is it criminal? I think that's actually criminal, isn't it?
I certainly wouldn't like to be caught doing it. Not that I would.
That is amazing. Do you have anything similar like that happen to you?
I haven't seen it. I did see tech professors post in the forum, and I thought that was quite wrong. Oh. Really wrong, actually, from Dell.
That's very wrong. Oh, gosh. I'm serious, guys. That's why we are in business, because the big companies don't care. And then the techs that are just bad techs are out there too, just trying to rip people off. So the good guys really have a shot in this business. And though as horrible as that is, you know, and it actually made a bad name for Randy. I mean, I'm sure he explained it to the lady, because she thinks, oh, Randy didn't put any antivirus on my machine. Why would he not do that? And he think that he's negligent. I think this is why we have a business here still, and that we're not really gonna go anywhere, because nobody's really doing it. Nobody's out there, big companies that care, and there's a lot of people out there that just suck at this job. So the good guys have still a strong shot of making a good living out of doing this. That's just ridiculous. But I believe it. I believe it. I've been on the phone with Dell support, so I believe that these companies are just really into that. That's bad news for Dell. Hopefully they get wind of that and do something about it. So thank you, Randy, for the voicemail. If anybody else wants to send a voicemail, has stories similar to Randy's or whatever, call 7076-PODNUT. It goes right to a Google Voice email. You know, you don't get a pretty girl at the end of the line on an answering service saying, oh, please tell me your story. No, it goes straight to voicemail. You don't have to talk to anybody. Leave us your story. I want to hear about it, or leave us any other tips you want to send us a voicemail about. 7076-PODNUT is the number. And I think I have another email here. Let me check. Yeah. This is from Badarch. He says, I need a replacement LCD screen for my laptop, and I decided to try DVD Super 999, that's the eBay seller I recommended and I used when I was in business. And a lot of you other guys who have been using her have had rave reviews about her. So he said he decided to try DVD Super 999. She is awesome. Everything went smooth. My laptop is happy with the new LCD. Thank you for that awesome advice in your podcast. Just wanted to put that out there because it's a good supplier. And we don't get any money from DVD Super 999. I don't even know if she knows we exist, but we like to recommend her. So that's what we do here. So thank you, Badark. I appreciate it. I hope I pronounced your name right. And that is it for emails. If anybody wants to send us an email, send it to mail@podnuts.com. I will get it. I will file it in my Gmail, and I will read it. That's the process. All right. Hey, if anybody wants to sign up and be a guest on Podnuts Daily, you can do that too. Go to podnuts.com/guests. That's what Adam did, and now he's on the show. It's just that easy. Hey, man, it was awesome talking to you, Adam. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did.
Certainly did.
Cool. Well, good notes. Anything else you want to say to the folks before we end off?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, definitely, like I tell everybody, definitely sign up in the future. Come on the show again when you have more ammo.
No, I think I will.
All right. Thanks. And anybody else who's watching, listening, streaming, downloading, whatever you're doing, appreciate it. And we will see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.